Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au. On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's comedian and five-star jerk, Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney.
Move on, mate, and just do your Malcolm Turnbull impersonation.
It's Lawrence Mooney!
Oh, g'day, Moon Man. Good morning. Melbourne must be going nuts with prelim final action starting tonight.
It is absolutely frothing in Melbourne. Not a ticket to be had for a seat in the cauldron, the MCG, Richmond versus Collingwood. Probably the two supporter bases with the least teeth in sport. But, boy, it's going to be absolutely pumping. And, Roo, maybe you can confirm this too. I've spoken to footballers about this. Mm. They call it the supporters' grand final. They reckon that the preliminary final is louder than the grand final because it's all supporters, no VIPs or corporates. True or false?
True. I played in front of 91,000 against Collingwood 1 year in a prelim, and when we ran out in the ground, it was when they ran out in the ground, I should say, we were already out there, it was absolutely deafening. So it's a great feeling, and it'll be absolutely huge tonight. So looking forward. Have you jumped on the wife's bandwagon with the time?
Well, absolutely. I've got two wives, so lesson for young players, you don't end up with one wife, you end up with two. So no matter how bad it gets, never leave your first one.
Who is your other wife, Barrick, for?
Both of my wives, a Richmond supporter too, her brother played. Yeah. So they, Rebecca and Lou, my wives respectively, will be going along together with my eldest daughter, Lily. So three girls all together.
You have a very weird setup, Moons. That is different, isn't it?
It's called Evolved. I've just kept all the plates spinning. It's very good. Mm. So they go along and...
You're never allowed to dip back to the first wife for a cuddle or anything, are you?
What are you saying?
Well, I don't know.
You can't even say that out loud.
Well, we
what?
Just did. Well, I don't know. Well, you're taking it to the footy and you know...
I'm not taking it to the footy. My wife's taking it to the footy. So if anyone's dipping, it's those two having a bit of...
Now you're talking.
Now you are talking.
I bet you are barracking for the Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
It's the battle of the sash.
Now, we were talking yesterday that I find it a little bit weird with blokes who paint their nails.
Come on. You know what I've done. I went along. I don't know. Dits, Roo, have you ever been and had a pedicure?
Come on. We are the men of Triple M.
But a pedicure is a delight, okay? So they trim the skin around your nails, they trim your nails, they shave the skin off the back of your heel after they've soaked it in a tub of hot water with salts. They massage your leg up to the knee. It's beautiful. And then what colour nail polish would you like? I went for a pedicure with my youngest daughter, Maggie, 5, and my wife, Lou, and I said yellow and black.
Hang on, which wife?
It was wife number two. As I say, the current wife. And so I went for yellow and black, and so I am in the good books. Mm. I peel those socks off at night.
Are you wearing high heels or not?
I've got fishnets on, lent to me by Alexander Downer. And
Did you go striped nails, or have you gone black nail, yellow nail, black nail, yellow nail?
Oh, see, yeah, you're interested now. No, I've gone with
just
the sash.
To picture your hairy legs with toenails hanging out of them.
Two black nails on either end, and one yellow in the middle to represent the sash.
Right.
So go Tigers.
Oh, no, I didn't predict that. But anyway,
of course, the last time these two teams met in a preliminary final was 1973. The Pies were up by 29 points at quarter time, 36 at half time, and then the Tigers came storming back. Royce Hart had spent most of the game on the bench, injured, and they kicked 6 goals in the third quarter, went out into three-quarter time, 8 points down, and won by 7 points.
Oh, no.
15-15 to 14-14. So the Collingwood Football Club, they have got a little bit of, you know, a monkey on their back when it comes to playing Richmond in
the
final.
Collie Wobbles.
They have got, I think it's a rebirth of the Wobble. You know, they haven't beat Richmond in a final since 1937.
Tonight's the night, Moons. I'm on the Collingwood bandwagon.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to shut down De Gowie and Treloar. So, yeah, it's going to be an absolute one for the ages tonight. Well, what a night.
You're going to have your hands full in more ways than one, I reckon, even with Collingwood and your two wives, mate. So good luck, Moons.
Thank you very much. I've got one wife, okay?
Lawrence,
I'm not a Mormon.
I think he's going to make an announcement the next week. Next week you'll say, can you start calling me Linda from now on? Like you're going through a change, aren't you?
I thought you were meaning that both wives are going
to
move.
If I choose to identify as a woman, that's my business.
Fair enough. Yeah. All good, mate.
No, we just need to know. Who are we to criticise? We're not here to criticise, but, just let us know. So I
this
can
has
introduce
been
you in a different
the
way.
Weirdest conversation I've ever had.
good on you, Moons.
All right, have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Go Tigers.
Ruined It's here on Triple M 624.
Not far away from the week that was.
6:39. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Yeah. Ru, it's been another massive week on the show.
Oh, we love the week that was. Here are our top five highs and lows.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined It's this week.
Number five.
When we had comedian Lawrence Mooney on, we learned why he's always so relaxed when he chats to us.
Our new phone in today, who's the most famous person that patted your dog?
That's made me choke up.
What are you been
that is
doing?
Very funny.
What have you been doing, sucking a few darts or something?
No, I just pulled a couple of cones before work.
Oh, don't.
Punched a couple of cones in the Ford Ranger out the front.
Now, as we move on.
Yes. Let's move on.
Number four.
We learned some shock revelations about Sesame Street.
You've got some big news on Bert and Ernie, Dits. Bert and Ernie are gay.
I was watching a gay couple all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this day and age.
Couldn't you tell?
No, there's nothing wrong. They didn't pash on or anything, but the writer who created them has come out and said, yes, I'm a gay man, and I wanted to reflect my relationship through Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street.
If you need to know everything about the people on Sesame Street, here's full disclosure. Elmo is transgender. Oscar the Grouch has manic depression. The Cookie Monster has diabetes. Big Bird is morbidly obese. And Snuffleupagus has a cocaine problem.
How did it come out? It only just came out yesterday.
Yeah. So it should be called Oxford Street, not Sesame Street.
Oxford Street, yeah.
Another diss zinger.
Bert and Ernie all these years have been gay.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it interesting that we need to be teaching our kids, I don't know, about sexuality or Sesame Street felt the need?
They haven't been teaching them, though, because you didn't know.
Well, maybe I was naive. Maybe it went through to the keeper. There could be three-year-olds all over the world go, yeah, I knew they were gay.
If Ditz is upset about Bert and Ernie, wait till he hears they also had a frog and a pig that were sleeping together.
My Kermit has admitted his love for me at last.
Number three.
We learned about a guy called Colin who was almost abducted by Ivan Milat.
Was he scary? Was he intimidating?
When he'd run around the back of the pickup truck, he'd grab the hammer that was placed at the tailgate. I thought he was getting ready to punch me. In reality, he was getting ready to hammer me.
Hang on, that's not funny. Oh yeah, but Lemo's Ivan Milat story is funny.
When he was first going to trial, Ivan Milat, there's a bit of a question mark over quite a few members of that family.
Mm.
And one of his brothers was asked the question, do you reckon Ivan killed those backpackers? And his brother said to the journo, nah, not all of them.
Fooled us!
Number two, speaking of brothers, we learnt some siblings are loved more than others.
Unloved siblings, right? With yours.
Mate, Tom can walk around with a poo in his nappy for hours before you change it. Now, the first one.
There's a wee
in there, get that off.
Quite understandably. I mean, I would have been an ugly baby. There's not one photo of me anywhere in our house. But my oldest brother, my God. Well, you'd open up another gallery in North Territory.
What about me?
Tim from Virginia called up and reckons he was the unlucky sibling.
Were you loved or unloved?
Both my brothers always got new bikes. And I used to race BMX.
Yeah.
I did do gymnastics with my sister.
Oh, Tim! No. Tim! You look good in leotards, did you?
Apparently leotards aren't as expensive as push bikes.
Tim.
And the number one thing we learned this week is there is some very forgetful drivers out there.
Whether we're too busy, we're impatient, but leaving things on the roof of the car.
Let's go to Happy Valley. What have you left on your car, Ben?
Trying to spice up the bedroom life of your missus. So I thought after work I'd call in the Good Vibrations and get a couple of things.
What?
I pulled out of the bloody driveway back on the south road.
Benny left an entire bag of marital aids on the roof of his car.
The revision mirror, I seen the bag in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
I pull over and run back.
Bet it's not the first time someone's lost a load near Good Vibrations. Because there's heavy traffic and potholes.
No. Yeah, just give us an address. Where is Good Vibrations?
Good vibrations on South Road, around St. Mary's, I think.
Righto. Good on you, mate.
Dits. Don't pretend like you don't know where Good Vibrations is.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Bit X-rated this week.
X-rated.
Speaking of,
we've got Dits' sex bird up next.
Yeah, I can't wait for that segment. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Did you just roll out of bed? You should get back in there so you can roll around a bit more. Because it's time to talk to the Triple M sexpert.
Time to get her on again this morning and delve into some serious topics. Nadia, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Nadia, I thought for a minute there last week after that segment, Dits wanted to do daily segments, but we're just going to keep we're just going to do it for once.
I'm always available, guys.
Oh. Hey, you spoke about marriage, and is it for idiots? Basically,
is it outdated?
Is it outdated?
Yes. Well, I wrote a column which attracted a lot of controversy. I actually went and spoke on TV about it as well. People got really fired up. My title for the column was a little tongue in cheek, and I hope no one took it too seriously. And the title was "Marriage is for Idiots." Now, I obviously
where can they go and see this article, by the way, Nadia?
So I wrote it on the women's website that I run, which is shesaid.com. And, basically, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but the premise of the article was that monogamy just doesn't make sense in our modern culture in terms of long-term, lifelong, you know, contracted, I guess, monogamy, like, as in marriage. And I perfectly am, you know, very more than happy to point out my own bias in the issue, and I say that very early on in the column that I myself have been married and it didn't work out for me. So I'm happy for people to call me out on that and call me, you know, jaded or whatever they want to call me. But I think there's actually also a really lot of, you know, evidence to show that marriage doesn't really make a lot of sense for us in our modern day and age.
Give us your best couple of examples why, you know, you believe in your facts.
Well, I think, you know, obviously we all know that the divorce rates are through the roof. We know of things like the 7-year itch and the fact that, you know, roughly half of marriages end in divorce. We know that, you know, rates of people having affairs are very high. And we know that things like polyamory, open marriage, swinging, you know, these sorts of other concepts are becoming much more socially accepted now. And I think the reason they're becoming more socially accepted is because they're a viable alternative. You know, when we first stood on an altar and said, till death do us part, humans were living an average lifespan of 30 or 40 years. So till death do us part wasn't a very hard slog. Now, you're stuck with the person for 50-odd years. It's a long bloody time.
You get less for murder.
Exactly. I'm just saying that we should be realistic in a sense that nowadays, actually committing to marriage, it really doesn't make as much sense. You know, the era that we're living in, we live in the era of, you know, Tinder, and we can just swipe, you know, right and find someone very quickly. And we've got that sense of FOMO that we're always, you know, missing out on something better.
Nadia, do people who just sort of jump around from girlfriend to girlfriend or boyfriend to boyfriend, as opposed to, say, someone who's been married for 30, 40 or 50 years, are they happy in life, you know, having different partners? I mean, they might be happy for the honeymoon period of those bits, or how they go with different kids from different partnerships, or you know what I mean? There's obviously some negatives out there as well in sort of not being loyal to one person.
Absolutely. You know, and everyone's idea of happiness is going to be different, but I don't think there's any sort of guarantee on saying if you agree to be with someone, definitely guaranteed a lot of happiness. Actually, there's a lot of research that suggests that in the first year of marriage, couples tend to report that they are more satisfied in their relationship, but as the years go on, they tend to report lower levels of relationship satisfaction. And part of that is to do with the fact that it is very difficult for us to maintain, you know, the same level of connection and intimacy and all of those things, you know, after you've been with someone for a decade or longer. And, you know, that was certainly the case, you know, that I found in my marriage, you know, among other things that obviously were responsible for our marriage breakdown. But, you know, it is a very difficult thing to do. And I guess But people that are having a marriage breakdown, what I would want them to take away from this is the fact that that doesn't make you a failure and it doesn't make your relationship a failure. It just means that your relationship has run its time span.
Interesting way to look at it. Nadia, thanks so much. We'll talk again next week. And next week's all about, can cuddles kill your sex life? That's an interesting question. Nadia Bocchetti is our sexpert. Nadia, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good work, Nadia. Hey, it's time for the pressure test where you can win $1,000 cash heading into the weekend. Give us a buzz. 1-3-3-5-3.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Now, Roo, podcasting is the thing of the future. It's the thing of now. Mm. And I'm just getting involved myself. I'm just understanding what goes on.
Are you going to do your own podcast?
No, but I'm starting to listen to these. I'm a modern new age guy. Don't worry about that.
Are you one of the 10 million?
Yeah. Howie Games, 10 million downloads, if you don't mind.
$10 million.
Unbelievably, he gets to talk to all the big superstars. He's a part of Triple M's footy team, Mark Howard. Howie, good morning.
Hey, great to speak to you, Roo and Ditch. Let me tell you, the first thing I've got to tell you, it is free, Roo. So it might be 10 million downloads, but it ain't 10 million bucks, mate. I wish it was.
Well, I tell you what, I've heard some of your podcasts, and they are sensational, mate. You're doing a great job. We just had a little sneak preview of Andrew Bogut, who you have done one of your podcasts on. Have a listen to this.
And the difference probably with Australian sport and American is the amount of money. You know, it's we're not talking $100,000 differences. We're talking $5, $10, $15 million differences of if I average 10 points compared to 15 points, or I get that extra rebound. So there's cases where guys will steal rebounds from each other on the same team, and guys will not want to pass a ball until they know someone's going to shoot it so they get an assist, you know. And they're things that happen because, unfortunately, we're paid on statistics. It's a statistics-driven league, and that's where, I mean, it can be poisonous.
How that sounds terrible. Like you're playing a team sport and it's all about yourself. I mean, there's massive money. I totally understand it, but that's not what sport's about, Howie.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? And Andrew's the same because he grew up a footy fan and he loved the Bombers, and he talked to me about when he first got over there, and he's like, okay, what time's the team dinner? And one of the veterans on his first team, I said to him, mate, we don't do team dinners. We'll see it shoot around the next morning, which is it is phenomenal. But what he did say, Ruin Dit, he said, I only played on one genuine team, and that team was prepared to get in other superstars and it wouldn't upset, and that was the Golden State Warriors, and we won the title. So he said it'd be weird to play in that situation, wouldn't it? And playing as a group of individuals.
There's no I in team.
Now, you've interviewed so many different people. The list is incredible. I mean, I'm interested to know a bit about Tim Payne, who is our Australian cricket captain at the moment. A lot of Australians probably wouldn't even recognise him. The makeup of the Australian team has changed.
I wouldn't even
so
know what he looked like.
But he's got a great story to tell, Howie, hasn't he? He grew up playing cricket in the street with Matthew Wade.
Yeah, he did, which was extraordinary. And then he had to have the phone conversation with his great mate, Matty Wade, saying, mate, I'm in the test side. And Matty Wade had to say, well, I know, congratulations, but I'm out of the test side.
So he took his place.
He took his place. And I did it in Tassie a couple of weeks ago. That episode comes out in about 3 weeks' time. And Payne talks about, he wasn't playing for Tasmania. He was going to move to Melbourne and sell cricket bats for Kookaburra, and then he got his way to the Australian team. He said he still drives around in his car and has a chuckle to himself occasionally thinking, wow, I'm the Australian captain. But I've got to tell you, there's an episode out today with Justin Langer, who's a very funny man. That team could not be in better hands with Langer and Payne. They are outstanding gentlemen that just love cricket and love what Australia represents and wants Australians to fall back, those that have fallen out of love, get Australians to fall back in with their cricket team.
The Matthew Wade, Tim Payne story, isn't that what happened to the War Brothers?
Yeah, the War Brothers, same thing.
Yeah.
Mark Waugh made the test side and they dropped Steve Waugh.
Back on Langer, what's his background like? Was he a bit of a hippie or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is a bit of a hippie. He has a month, a year that he told me about where he doesn't shave and he doesn't wear shoes. He talks about...
Is that what you define a hippie as? I look at it in other ways.
Well, he's not on the bongs, if that's what you're trying to say, Bruce.
Well, that's what hippies are into, isn't it?
Oh. No.
He's at Nimbin, with all the other people up there.
No, what he talks about, he made a pair in New Zealand in his fifth test, and a New Zealand batsman by the name of John Wright said to him, mate... Yeah, exactly. A couple of ducks, and he was going to get dropped. And a New Zealand batsman by the name of John Wright said to him, mate, I think you should take a transcendental meditation. And J.O. was like, what are you talking about? He got home, saw an ad for it, took it up, changed his life.
Craig Lowndes, death threats. What was that about?
Yeah, Lowndesy, when he moved from Holden to Ford, had to get a security guard because it got to the point, as much as he is the much-loved, you know, you boys see the race in Adelaide every year. They take it very, very seriously. You know, the thing about Craig Lowndes, I speak to him a lot when he gets out of the car, and when he gets out of the car, from his demeanour, you have no idea whether he came first or last because he's always got
G'day,
a smile.
G'day, Howie, how you going? Howie, good to see you.
Howie, good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us. This has been a phenomenal success. Already 10 million downloads. There'll be many, many more millions to come. It's a great lineup that you've put together again, Howie. Good luck with it.
Good on you, Roo. Dits, appreciate your support.
There it is. Check out the podcast, The Howie Game. Roo, last night, the Channel 9 footy show, a big, big announcement by Sam Newman at the start. I think it went some 9 minutes. I said to you earlier this morning, to me, he's been the most articulate, clever,
honest.
He's never censored, which is fantastic. He wasn't censored last night either. Anyway, let's get him to explain exactly what took place. Sam Newman, good morning.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. Very good, Sam. What's happening? You're hanging up the boots, so to speak.
Well, look, I thought it was pretty logical explanation last night. If the station, and could I say it's their absolute prerogative, dear me, it is their absolute prerogative to say when the show or if it goes back on, but if they can't tell us if it's going on next year, and this is our last show for the year, I didn't want it to just disappear without having a word to the people who for 25 years who have supported us in big numbers, in few numbers, in transitory numbers. So I thought it would be a good opportunity just to say that. And this was always predicated on the fact, and I said, on the off chance that this show doesn't come back, that would be me. I would be finished, and that would be pretty logical, I'd reckon.
Well, came across very, very well, Sam. I had a listen to it, and I think you spoke very, very well. What will you do if you don't go on the Channel 9 footy show? Will you just smell the roses and drive the Lamborghini around, or...?
Well, the bank will probably take it back if I'm not employed. So that will be a no-brainer. So as you two boys would know, unless if you don't have, it's not at your behest or whim to say what you'll do if your employer says we think that's it. If it's not it, then they'll come and say to you, well, maybe we'd like to continue. Until someone says that to you or to me, you don't have really any option, do you?
Has it rattled the cage? Was there any feedback from management when you got off air, Sam?
No, because I did out of courtesy tell them I was going to do that. Even if they had told me that they didn't want me to, I still would have done it. But I said this was not a bagging mission. I'm really sorry about the phone. Can you hear that?
Yeah, that's all right. We know you're busy, mate. We're very happy to have you on.
I said this is not a bagging mission. This was just being out of courtesy and respect to the people who have watched us or been part of our show for 25 years. We should not disappear in the summer. If the show is not coming back in some capacity, we should not disappear in the summer without actually saying something to those people. That was all that was about.
Sam, the fact that they didn't tell you not to do it, do you think that means that the footy show won't be on next year?
Well, I'm just going to... I'm sorry, this is...
Yeah, you got crickets, that's all right.
Yeah, no worries. We're talking to Sam Newman, who's now talking to someone. Right.
Sorry.
all right.
Eddie is who his production company packages the show. They're unaware as yet, mind you, the season's not over. They're unaware as to what is going on with the network.
Okay.
And so when they tell him one way or the other, they'll probably tell me one way or the other. Mm. But this was just purely an exit strategy in case. But nothing further goes on, and it would be remiss of me, I felt, not to say that to the people. Never take our audience for granted. Just tell them what's going on.
So you're like an uncontracted player without a contract for next year. You're just not sure if you're going to get another run.
That is exactly right, Ru.
Okay. Fair well enough. Put, we've all well been put in that position.
Well, Sam, I think many, many thousands of people listening right now would hope that it continues next year. It's been an institution on a Thursday night. As we all know, from the day it started, it's been a must-watch on a Thursday, and you have been the linchpin. Yep. You have carried it. And I know you won't want to say that, and you won't probably want to hear that, but there's no doubt you have been the most integral part of it. So congratulations,
yep. Well
and
done,
let's hope it continues.
Okay, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, boys.
Good on you, and thanks for talking to us. Sam Newman. Ruth, there's only ever been one Sam Newman, and as I said, he's very important to all of it.
All
really
country
is.
Towns and lounge rooms across Australia,
yep.
For years and years and years, people would go to footy training, they'd get their selections, and they'd rush home, yep. And get onto the couch.
Now, there's no
at
doubt,
8:28 to
let's
watch
be honest,
it.
It's taken a dip in recent years, and the front bar rivals it now and is doing better numbers, so they'll need to tweak it if they are to continue. And that's what obviously they're discussing right now. But a footy show without Sam Newman won't be the
you
footy
know
show.
Sam said last night? It is the longest, the show that's been on the TV for the longest for that type of show in the history of TV.
Yeah, so they've done plenty right.
You're due to fall off the cliff at some point, aren't
you? Yeah, indeed.
Oh, we're talking about people with OCD and some of their crazy things they have to do because they just feel like they have to do.
Obsessive.
Because they can't live with it if they don't do it.
Mm. Have you got any of those sorts of habits?
I am not OCD, but I used to live with a bloke who probably ticks that box, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. We're going to name him?
Well, he's known as the Birdman. We'll just call him
okay, the Birdman.
Okay.
All right, that narrows it down.
It narrows it down a little bit. And he used to have all his, back in the days of CDs, this is, going back sort of, you know, 15 years ago probably. Mm. He used to have all his CDs in alphabetical order. You'd say, where's, Cold Chisel?
Mm. No,
Under Sea.
Right. Did you ever mess with that? Did you put some back in the wrong place?
No, I'm not that sort of person.
No?
No. But if you went to make a cup of coffee, all the coffee cups would be in the cupboard with their handles out. For easy to grab.
Was this a gay relationship you were in or what?
No. This is just what he was like when he packed it away. So, I'd obviously pack him away with the handles to the side. To really get under his skin.
Trickster.
In his wardrobe, snooping through there one day, all the clothes in colour order. In the wardrobe.
No.
Yes, sirree. You know, all your yellows, all your oranges, all your greens, all your blues, all your blacks. That is OCD.
Right. So, that's definitely OCD. Yeah.
Well, anyone in your family or anyone of your boyfriends?
My dad was an obsessive hand washer. He could wash his hands 50 times a day. And it would be if he got up and left the table and went outside to do something. Well, he's touched the door handle now. So when he came back in, straight to the bathroom, wash his hands.
Yeah, but he's
and then come back and sit
it's
down.
Own family that have touched the door, so he reckons what you kids have
every,
got dirty.
I don't know, but every time he did anything, if he went and touched something,
and where'd he go and wash him?
Well, there was a bathroom just next to the kitchen because he'd be sitting at the table reading the paper or something, and if he got up to do
the page of the newspaper,
if he got up to do anything, you'd see him go straight to the bathroom, wash his hands. Unbelievable.
So did you ever get stuck into him or not?
Oh, my old man wasn't someone to get stuck into, really.
Righto. But you just used to look at it and go, Dad's washing his hands again.
Oh, we just knew. We just accepted it. It was normal for us. You know, we just knew what he was doing.
When he pulled the robber through the window and bashed him and chucked him back out,
he washed his hands after that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We went through some soap.
But you're always whinged that you were poor. He spent half his life walking to the bathroom.
That's why
and back
we were
to
poor.
Wash his hands.
The water bill and the soap bill.
And the soap. So you wash your hands a lot. You're
a
clean
I'm a hand
freak.
Washer. And one of my sons, one of my sons, not both, but one of them is really obsessive as well. And things like when he comes to our house, if he wants a drink, he'll get a glass out of the cupboard and he'll look at it, turn it upside down, sniff it. And I go, mate, it's been in the dishwasher. It's clean, all right? Like I have to talk to him like that. I go, mate,
really?
It's okay to use that glass, I promise you.
That runs, it's a gene.
No, it must be. It's genetic.
And you haven't taught him to.
No.
Were you sort of really on them about washing their hands and being clean?
Not at all. Not at all. He's just there's
that's
something
for Dr. Carr, I reckon. Like that's three generations of stuff there.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, good. Hey, should we ask our listeners what if they're into OCD behaviour or they know people? 1-3-3-5-3, give us a buzz. Have you got friends, family?
Because it can drive you mad. It can drive you really
mad. Oh, it's hilarious watching people too because you can play some tricks on them. Give us a buzz. 1-3-3-5-3, any friends or family that are OCD? Well, we're talking about OCD behaviour here. Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Andrea.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Andrea. What's happened with you?
My mum. I'm in my 50s, and my mum to this day, when she comes down on holidays and stays with me, she still cuts the tags off my underwear, colour coordinates them, and folds them in shoe boxes in my underwear drawer.
Oh, my Gee God. Whiz. I don't know if I want my mum looking over my undies at that age.
How does that make you feel, Andrea?
Fat.
What?
Oh, what?
Even colour coordinates the washing when she takes it on the line.
Oh God, Andrew. Don't get mum to come down then.
That could drive you mad.
Let's go to Meadows. G'day, Todd.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you going?
Very well. What does your dad do?
He grew up on a farm, you know, and you always get things in your boots and you'd have to take them off and put them back on all the time. And
yeah.
He used to have to wipe the bottom of his foot 3 times before he could put his boot back on.
Well, that was just a habit.
Yeah, well, no, he's got OCD. He's had to, get it sorted out. But, yeah, it can be a serious thing, the OCD.
So he had to go and see someone about it, did he?
Yeah, because, I know that it happens with some people, but with him, you know, he thought that if he didn't do it, then something bad might happen to someone or his family and things like that. So, so it can be serious in some cases.
The little conscience was speaking to him a bit too loudly.
Yeah. Okay. And I know someone at my partner's work, she's the same. She has to get someone else to lock all the doors up because otherwise she doesn't believe that it's locked. So, yeah.
that's getting a bit deep. Good on you, Todd. Thanks for your call. We'll take some more calls after the song.
Talking about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Let's go to Croydon. G'day, Peter.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good, Pete. What'd you get up to?
I'm on my way to work, but I've got OCD, and I'm quite happy with it living this way.
Oh, that's good.
Well, explain more. Yeah. What sorts of things do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The family, empty out the dishes every now and then, and my kids, I've got 2 sets of coffee cups, you know, the longs and the shorts. And
yeah.
They take them out and they hook them up and they put half and half on the hooks. Now, I've got a set of 6 hooks. They should put all 6 of the long ones on the hooks and the 6 short ones in another section, but it absolutely frustrates me.
Yeah, but they haven't got OCD and you have.
Well, they just put them anywhere. I just like to see all 6 on the same hook.
I hear your problem.
Yeah. Good luck with that,
good
Peter.
Stuff. He sounds a bit like the Birdman there. Let's
He's getting
go to
frustrated
Marino.
Talking to him.
He's getting frustrated. Let's go to Marino. G'day, Amanda.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, are you OCD?
No, it's my husband.
Oh, all right. Tell us about your husband. What does he do?
So 8 years ago I met him, and going to his house for the first time, it was like everything was folded perfectly done in his drawers, all his cutlery, everything perfectly put in everything, perfect position.
And what's happened there?
Well, now we're married 8 years down the track and have 2 sons. One just turned 3 on Monday and one's 15 months old, and they've got the same problem. Yeah, they vacuum, they love to clean, so they bite over the mop bucket. So my kids don't play with toys, they play with cleaning equipment.
How lucky are you?
I know, right? It's lucky until your house constantly looks like a display home.
You just lay on the couch, put your feet up, and have 3 men clean all the time.
Probably that's what will happen eventually, I guess, when I get a bit older. But, Bentley's also obsessed with weeding, so when I go to my friends' houses, he'll go out to their garden and pick up all the weeds and weed the whole garden.
Listen,
for
I'll give you my address. Come round to my house.
All right.
Yep, that's what everyone says.
Brilliant, Amanda. Good stuff. Good luck with that. It is genetic, Dits. There you go.
Yeah.
See? Let's go to an anonymous caller. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Are you OCD?
God, no. I'm just slack as buggery. My wife is not OCD, but she shows traits.
Right.
when she hangs the clothes up on the line, the pegs have to be colour-coded.
What, to the clothes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's a now, little bit there. There's
look, I love it. I love it a bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we first met, I hung the clothes up once and she didn't think I was looking, but she went out and changed the pegs.
Oh, wow. She's got a bit of an issue. Yeah.
There's a positive to everything. I don't have to hang the clothes up now because I don't colour code.
That's right.
Good work. Well done. Thanks, Anonymous.
Do it wrong first time. Hey, you never get asked to do it again.
Why did you have to be anonymous for that sort of call?
Because she's probably home cleaning and listening to the radio at the moment.
Oh, God, I reckon she knows your voice.
I know your voice.
Anyway, good on you, Anonymous. Have a great weekend.
I've just looked at the screen and it says Richard Burton, but I think it means Richard from Burton, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Not Brett's brother or daddy. Yeah, let's go to Richard. G'day.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Are you OCD, Dick?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
And why is that?
So mine involves increments of the number 7.
Oh,
for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, it drives my missus insane and my kids.
Hey, Richard, guess what? You're the 7th caller on our line at the moment. Does that make you feel a bit eerie?
You don't know what that's done for me, Mark. It's great.
What does it do? You're nervous?
No. So, like, no, it's just a good feeling, really.
So what happens in your life in increments of 7?
Yeah, so, all right, so the volume on the radio in the car and on the TV at home has to be an increment of 7.
I like it, right. Yeah.
But I bought a Ranger a couple of years ago, and that doesn't have, like, a numerical volume setting. It's like a little bank of bars that light up.
Yeah. 7
sell,
bars.
No, sell.
I tried to count the bars. Yeah.
You had to count the bars!
Well, otherwise I can't drive, mate.
keep going. I love this.
Do you have to watch 7 News?
No, doesn't go to that. But I probably will start doing that now. I will start doing that now.
What else? Come on, give us some more gold.
When I unlock the door with my central locking remote on the key, I've got to press the button 7 times.
Oh, my God.
And the same to lock it. So on the Ranger, after you press the button once, it toots the horn. So you can imagine what that does to my neighbours.
Your neighbours think you're mad.
Oh, everyone thinks I'm mad.
Right.
Pillows and sheets, tags have to be on a certain corner of the bed, facing a certain direction in the room. Otherwise, I just can't sleep. Mate. If I get in and I see a tag on the sheet, it's all over. I'm awake.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, we're feeling your pain, Richard.
I presume you're back number 7 at Keno and number 7 in Cross Lotto and all of that too.
Everything. You should see my lotto numbers, mate. They'll never come up. 7, 14, 27, 28, 35.
All right. Good work, Richard. Good luck with that.
Has a birthday every 7 years.
Yeah. 7-year each.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Richard.
Good stuff. Hey, good calls, eh?
Our listeners are nuts.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
For all your real estate needs out north,
see Grant Filkey at First National Gawler.
Still kicking goals.
Roo, this could be the biggest prelim final we've ever seen.
Well,
this is amazing tonight.
Potentially could be, Dits. Potentially could be just an all-time cracker. And let's hope we don't build it up so much and it just pops because Richmond smash them or Collingwood smash them. But it's going to be huge. Last time they played, Dits, it was only 4 points of difference at three-quarter time back in round 19. Collingwood were really taking it up to them and looked just as good as them. And then Richmond blew away in the last quarter. But Collingwood had 2 injuries from the first quarter. You know how much difference that makes when you have to carry blokes for that time. They didn't have Dugowie. He didn't play that game as well. Dusty got tagged out of it by Greenwood. And I reckon he might do it again. He went forward and kicked 3 goals and played a good role. And Maynard's another one who could shut him out. He stood Toby
you
Green
like him,
last
don't
week.
You?
I reckon they're a really, really, really good chance. I reckon it will be a cracking game, and I just wouldn't be surprised if Collingwood win. They are Richmond are $1.30, and Collingwood are over $3. I reckon they've got the odds wrong, but you know Richmond are going to get beat. They haven't been beaten there for 20 odd times, but playing against Collingwood's different.
Both teams unchanged. We will rock it on Triple M from 6 o'clock tonight. Give us a tip, Roo.
Collingwood.
by less than 10 points.
Oh, gee. All right. Let's hope so. Could be. I don't mean let's hope Collingwood win, but if it's less than 10 points, we're in for a cracking game.
I don't care either, as long as it's a close one.
Tomorrow, over there in the West, your mate Goody takes Melbourne over there to take on the West Coast Eagles. Gee, Bailey Fritch, I reckon he's been a good player, but he's been left out of the Melbourne side.
He has been a good player, Dits. It's nothing to do with form. It's just the fact they need another big fella down back because Kennedy and Darling are playing this time, and they didn't play last time Melbourne beat them over there in round 22 or 23. So this is a huge game. Scotty Lysette, they're talking about big money for him next year at either St Kilda or Port Adelaide. He's up against Maxi Gawn. That is going to be a huge, huge role over there. Their midfield are like a pack of dogs at the moment, the Demons, aren't they? They are aggressive. Everyone loves watching them play. You know what? I reckon they could go over there and get the job done as well. Can Sam Frost hold up on Kennedy or Darling or Oscar McDonald? That's probably the story of the game. If Darling and Kennedy can kick a few goals between them, I reckon, you know, they might win. But if they don't, if the big tools can do a job on them, I wouldn't be surprised if Melbourne go over there and knock them off and we have a Melbourne-Collingwood grand final.
Wow, all right. I can't wait for these two games. Hey, a bit more movement at Port Adelaide. We're told that Carl Amon now, young player, young left footer, wants to go back to Melbourne for family reasons.
What do you think of Carl Amon, Dits?
Good player. I think hasn't produced his best. He's probably been a little bit below par. Look, this could be very rude and disrespectful. I find he's a player that I don't reckon he pushes himself. He hasn't got the best out of himself. That's me sitting in the cheap seats, but I could be wrong there.
What do you think? Well, he's on one of those players that are on the edge, and you know, probably feels like he needs more midfield time.
I reckon he's in cruise control.
And most probably people inside the club probably think, well, you don't deserve midfield time. So stuck in a tough position. So maybe a move back to Victoria and a few more opportunities at perhaps a lower ranked club might give him a few more chances. But more player movement, let's get used to it. Unfortunately, we have to embrace it. I don't like it, but if it gives him more opportunities, well, good for him.
Nord and North Adelaide in the SANFL Grand Final Sunday at the Adelaide Oval. And we are rocking that game here on Triple M as well. Jars and Louis and Yater and all the team. Sauce Jacobs calling the action with us as well.
Yeah, he loves doing a bit of Triple M, our big Sauce.
So we look forward to that on the weekend. Forget everything that's happened. That will be a real good game of footy.
They're hoping to push 40,000. Last time they played together, they had 36, didn't they?
With the two supporter bases of these clubs, they could get 40. No doubt about that.
Some people are suggesting that's why they didn't uphold the decision to...
rude.
Well, they are, Dits. That's what they're saying around there. How many people, by the way, did you say yesterday they got the decision right at the Carbine Club?
I haven't had one person yet approach me and say the decision was right. Not one. And I mean that, seriously.
Mm.
Have you?
No, I haven't, actually.
How good's
but
this?
But I hope it's a good grand final.
Yeah, it will be. Cricket season's underway. South Australia, the Redbacks, we beat New South Wales yesterday
cricket
in the one day.
Cricket season? When did this happen?
Boof Lehman's son, Jake, was the skipper. He led us to, I think, Wetherill made a big 100.
Uh-oh.
And we beat New South Wales.
Cricket is curse.
What?
87.
Yeah, Jake Lehman made 87. Yes, in Australian cricket, it is the devil's number. But we beat New South Wales in the JLT Cup. So well done. What a great start to the Redbacks.
The JLT Cup, that's what we have in footy, isn't it? Is that the pre-season comp called it in AFL at the moment?
Oh,
JLT?
How would you know with bloody footy, the pre-season, what they do? Mm. Chops and changes every year, doesn't it? Hey, that's our look at sport. All thanks to Grant Filkey and First National out there at Gawler.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.